Pastor Tim and Angela. I actually, my first time here was in 1998. And I did a youth service. And then I came, and after that youth service, I found out that there is a calling and an anointing and the prophetic.
That's right.
Come on in this place. And I got to receive just about 20 minutes of the prophetic over me. And we are walking in now what was prophesied in 1998. Come on, y'all, give the Lord some hand. Give the Lord some praise.
You know what? I have so enjoyed this last week, and we have reconnected because it has been years since we've been here. But we do love Jubilee from afar, and we're so grateful for Tim and Angela and Jay Dean. And we love being a part of extended family here. And we believe that God has begun something really great here, and he's going to complete it. And I am a product of a church that was started a very, very long time ago and that didn't quit. And kept building and kept going and went through the ups and the downs and still kept on doing what God had asked them to do. And they're still going today, and they're great friends of ours, and we're still connected. But I believe in the church keeping on going. It's
Come
not
on.
Time for the church to back down, but our world needs a church that is strong and that will not quit more than ever.
Come on,
so
y'all,
I
put your
so
hands together.
I am so proud of y'all. I am so proud of y'all, and I want to say thank you on behalf of even the next generation in this house. Thank you for keeping on going. It's making an impact.
So this is my girl right here. We've been married 19 years, and yeah, it's good. And I'll talk a little bit more. Just we have four kids that we like. Come on. We got a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and an 11-year-old that will turn 12 in May. And so, man, it's been all hands on deck. And so I'm excited that our kids are a little older, so she gets to come with me. And that's good. We do want to download. I mean, obviously, I'm going to speak a lot today, but my wife and I have been marinating and praying over what God wants us to deliver to you. And I just want to say this before she heads off, is, you know, it's very hard in a ministry that has received a lot of revelation to stay hungry for revelation. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so you're going to have to, when you come into church, be willing to learn what you think you already know. Because we don't stop reading the Bible the first time we go through it. It's fresh. Someone say fresh. It's fresh. That means that it is applicable to every reason and season and problem of your life. And so I'm going to have my wife come up at the end. I'm going to give her some time to pray and to really pray for you, and then we want to do a little bit of ministry at the end. I do want to give honor to Jadine. She was the reason that we first got connected with Jubilee. We are from Hot Springs, and so we worked with her there. Also, Jason Cox. Jay Money, what's up, baby? He was younger and thinner back then, and so...
So were we.
hey, don't do that. Don't do that. And so anyway, we love y'all, and we feel like there's connections, spiritual connections here. And so I hope that you know that I don't feel like a guest, so I'm not going to preach like a guest. You know what I'm saying? And so thank you for welcoming us in.
Definitely.
And why don't you pray?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then we're going to roll.
Lord, we just thank you for the service. I thank you for each person in this room. I thank you that it's not an accident, that each person made a choice to be here. And God, I just pray now that choice will continue to decide right now in this moment to receive. So God, we lay down our preferences. We lay down our opinions. We lay down our anything that has replaced the lordship of you in our lives right now. And we declare and we humble ourselves and declare that you are Lord and that we are ready to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, come on, come on. Thank you so much, babe. Awesome, awesome. Well, here's the thing. I love statements. Y'all like statements? Y'all like say, like power statements? Anybody ever told your mama joke? I mean, there's just some statements. There's just like statements that, like, when someone says something, you watch a movie, you read the Bible, you read what Jesus said, you're like, oh, he didn't have to do that, but he did, and it was good. You hear what I'm saying? Statements. I have a few statements that I like. I just want to read you like three or four real quick. Benjamin Franklin said this: "Tell me and I forget it. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn." That's a great statement. I love that because I feel like that's what we just saw right here. Okay? Obviously, we're celebrating in February Black History Month. And Harriet Tubman, obviously, you know her story, leading the Underground Railroad to free slaves. This is what she said, just a powerful statement. She said, in asking was she able to do all that she did, she said, "It wasn't me, it was the Lord. I always told him, I trust you, and I don't know where to go or what to do, but I expect you to lead me, and he always did." Come on, come on, come on. Another one, John Wooden, famous basketball coach, said, "Do not let making a living prevent you from making a life." Come on. The car is not more important than your kids. That extra vacation isn't worth being divorced. Come on. Make a life. Every day, make a life. Make a life. Make a life that God would be proud of. Make a life that would honor Jesus. Make a life that's full of being the light of the Lord. Come on, make a life. Don't just make a living. If you just make a living, you'll sell your character out for a dollar. Frederick Douglass, instrumental in just articulating and helping laws be passed in our nation, just helping us, really work to understand and implement laws that would help, the African Americans. Here's what he said: "If there is no struggle, there is no progress. We are in danger in the church that we believe that every struggle is demonic and from the devil. But most of the time in your life, struggle builds character. It is the struggle that brought me to my knees. It is the struggle that brought me to the Lord's house. It is the struggle." Come on. Does anybody know about struggle? Come on. Does anybody know? Listen, here's the deal. I know that we want to sometimes pray for easy, but easy doesn't build character. Easy brings temptation. Statements. Here's another one from Paul the Apostle, Acts 20, verse 24. He said this, and it's lengthy, so don't fall asleep on me, okay? But he said this: "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only that I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was the man. Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. Paul started all of these churches. If anybody could do a little brag, a little pat me on the back, a little come on, follow my Instagram. If anybody could do that, it would have been Paul. But Paul is like, I don't even care. Like, I'm not precious. Paul was like, the only thing I want to do is continue in ministry and preach the gospel. Continue in ministry and preach the gospel. Continue in ministry and preach the gospel. Come on, amen? So to do that, you're going to have to turn off the porn. You're going to stop cheating on your taxes. Stop flirting with that girl on Facebook. Y'all not ready for me. I'm telling you. I told you I'm not like a visitor. I'm coming for you. Only thing that I want to do is stay in the ministry. Well, here's the deal. What's taking you out of it? Y'all not ready for me today. I can hardly tell you. Statements are important. Did you know that you're making a statement right now? We live in a world that people loves to post their statements, but they don't know how they act at the job as a statement. They don't know how they scream and yell, and the cycle of toxic behavior in the home is a... They don't understand that when mama and daddy get frustrated, the house is silent for 4 days and everybody's ignoring each other, and you act like that's not a... Statements are being made all the time. Come on. See, here's the thing about, when I married my wife, well, I was dating my wife, and, you know, we dated for about 2.5-3 years, broke up a little bit, got back together, you know, we did the thing, and so, some of y'all like, I just felt judgment. We've been married 19 years, we figured it out, okay? Let me hear your story, all right? And so anyway, we started dating. And when we began to really date, like lock in, I told her, I said, hey, I'm not going to tell you that I love you until I have a place to live, I have money in my account, because when I tell you I love you, I'm going to hand you a ring. And she was like, okay. I had a lot of reasons for that. You know, I was adopted from a foster home. My parents got divorced. I'd seen a lot of broken relationships. Some of that was out of fear, if I'm going to be 100% honest. I didn't want to say I love you and, you know, play boys to men. And then all of a sudden she fall in love with me and I fall in love with somebody else and it's all messed up. So, I mean, there was a part of that that was just, I mean, is that too transparent for y'all? Okay. And so part of it was me being scared because I had, you know, I remember being the child at 7, 8, and 9 wondering why I can't have a relationship with my father, and I didn't want to produce that again. And then the other part of that was I knew that love was, sure, love is a feeling, but love is also it's a choice. Jesus didn't die because of a feeling. He died because of a... You know what I'm saying? All in the Bible, you see choice. You don't see feeling. People didn't make great moves and go to great exploits and cross great adversity because of a feeling. They did that because of a choice. So I just need to talk to someone in the room, because you're thinking things about your relationship, your job, the people in your life on a feeling, but it requires a choice. You make choices, or you make excuses. You make choices, or you make excuses. You make, that's right, you make choices. And so anyway, I wanted her to know that when I gave her this ring, you know, it was more than a thing. We were going to do life forever. And so the night we got engaged, I took her to a steak dinner. It was good. And we went to this little gazebo where we I started playing some music. And we started, did a little dance. Then I got down on that knee and I said, her name was Gamble then. And I said, Katie Gamble, before I could get it out, where's it at? I know what that means. Give me the ring. Because the statements mean, come on, listen. Statements mean something. Yeah. She knew that when I said, I love you, we had already had the discussion. The table was already set. She also knew I had a place. Statements mean something. And all of the statements that I read earlier are powerful, and I love reading statements from influential people. But you are an influencer. You may not like it, but your cousin, your nephew, your niece, they're watching you. They are watching you. You're teaching people what relationships are like. The teenagers, sure, that you don't think they're multitaskers. You don't think they're paying attention because they're all here. But they're here watching how you respond. I said I was, or hey, let me open that door for you. Hey, honey, what's up? Hey, oh, let me see. You need some water? You need something to drink? And in a world full of everybody needs to have a voice, and everybody's empowered, and everybody's mad, and everybody's critical, and everybody's fighting. Come on, we're making statements. As a church, we have the responsibility to make the statement that God can redeem, that people can change, and that life can listen, be fruitful and abundant. Like, we give life. You're a life giver. You're not a life taker. You're not a sucker, you're a sower. You're not a leech. You're not a vacuum. You make deposits and investments. That's why you have to be healthy and whole and free and full of God, because you make investments. Come on, somebody. So the question becomes this: do you believe people can change? TC, are y'all sleeping? TC, can people change? See, I know why people think that they can't change, is because we all have personalities. We do. We all, God created you a certain way. You have a personality. There are extroverts in the room, people who are excited. You know what I'm saying? You know the people that they're just the fun. They're going to say it. The first time you heard it is the first time they heard it. They had no idea. There's no mouth gate. There's no processing. It's just blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, hallelujah, that's one. Come on. Those are the people that jump over the fence and find out there's a dog there later. You've just been jumping over a fence your whole life. We'll deal with it. Then there's the other people. You're a little introverted. You're thinking about it. You know who you are. You got a lot to say. You just haven't said a lot because you're still thinking about it. Me and my wife, we're totally different. I'm the extrovert. She's the introvert. So I'll be like, where do you want to go eat? And that's what happens next, all that silence. And 17 minutes later, my face is melting off, my insides are blowing up. I'm like, and she's like, well, I'm just so glad when she starts talking, because I'm like, you heard me. It was dark and lonely here. But here's what she's thinking. She's thinking, well, I wonder what he had yesterday. What did I have yesterday? I don't know what I had yesterday. Let me think about what I had yesterday. Do I feel like that? What's the line like? Well, how busy is it going to be? I don't know. Do we want that? I look good today. I don't want that all over my hands. I don't. I'm like, we'll figure it out, girl, but we're going to eat like today, right? And so we all have personalities. We all have things of our past. We all have ways that we process. But I need you to know the Bible teaches us that we can change. Come on, here's what I'm saying. We can change. We can change. God can heal the brokenness, the baggage, the bruises, the hurt, the wounds. There is a healthy version, come on, somebody, of you. There is someone who walks in victory. There is someone that can close the doors, loosen the strongholds, let the enemy move back. Like that can happen, but you're going to have to make some choices. We serve a God who severs old cycles through spiritual transformation. It's not easy. You can't do it alone. Can I tell you, there's a lot of things that you can do in the prayer line, but the one thing you can't do is develop character. There is nowhere in the Bible that God blesses you or grants you character. That just sets someone free, because you keep coming up over that same thing for the last 5 years and you're wondering why God doesn't take it. It's because this time, it's not, you don't need to show up, you need to grow up. He can sever every stronghold in the altar, but you have to make choices and develop character when you walk outside. I hadn't even started yet. That was all for free. I believe there are four things if you're going to change your life. So it's going to be super practical today. I'm going to give you four things that I think if you want to change your life, I'm going to give you four things that everybody will have to experience. Four things. And so here's the thing, is we all have a story and we all have different backgrounds, different cultures, come on, different understand, different families. And I love that we're different. I love that. I love it. But when you think, what is part of your spiritual story? It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what the problems and circumstances going on in your life. There are four parts that every believer will have, and these four things have to be a part of every believer's story. The first is you're going to have moments with God. Every believer, come on, hear me. Independent, Democrat, Republican, you're going to have a moment. The second thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have purpose. Your purpose is not making a living. The purpose is what God provides out of that transfer of investment and time and funds and what you do with that. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? You don't get up to just go to work. You use work to leverage your purpose and calling in your life. Amen. You will be addicted. You will find ways of coping. You will be frustrated if you wake up every day and the only thing that you have is a job. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. Moments. Purpose. The third is, we're talking about how to activate a godly life. You're going to have the right relationships in your life. Relationships. Relationships that are going somewhere, want to be something, listen, love you and can sympathize and have compassion and have empathy toward your situation, but do not allow you to be toxic, broke. Come on, somebody, hear what I'm saying? Can I just tell you, I'm going to free somebody today. You're not anybody's garbage dump for the devil. Well, I'm just trying to be there for them. They throwing up on you. You feel terrible and need 7 baths. And they're going, man, I feel so much better. Look, you can be transparent with me. But there are gutters to this bowling. And we're not getting into the gutter. There's bumpers here. And everybody's going to have to take inventory of the relationships in their life, because there are some people that you can pray for, you can be at the altar for, you can love deeply, but when they're around you, they cause compromise, they cause temptation, they don't value where you're going, they remember where you've been. Y'all not hearing me? Relationships are part of... God's calling you son, but your friends keep calling you puff. God's calling you daughter, and certain friends are calling you ho. God's got wonderful things for you. This too much? Y'all ain't never gonna invite me back. Sorry, Pastor. Sorry, Tim. Hey, let me just say this. Oh, no, I won't say that. From now on, when Pastor Tim and Pastor Angela are up, they are pastors. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? If you don't like that, we love you. Calling them pastor does not mean that you're divided in your loyalty or love. But God has called this couple. And he's not interested in anybody else's opinion on it. And here's the thing. If you'll get what I'm saying, then you'll stop trying to prove to your teenage daughter that you're the father, and you'll start acting like the... You'll stop acting like you need to prove to your teenage son that you're the mother, and you'll start just being the... Okay. All right. My assignment is part of your story. Part of your story. When I look at you, I see stories. Stories of overcoming, stories of victory, stories of hurt, stories of abandonment, stories of frustration, stories of anger, stories of great sacrifice. But I need to know that if you are breathing today, your story, come on, is not done. And listen, it may have been a hard 4 chapters. But this story is not done, and I believe God has some exceedingly abundantly in your life. I wish someone could give some testimony. I love when my man was up here and he was saying, man, other people probably would have canceled me. They just didn't know my story. Let us stop. We gonna be friends. All right. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, and then we're going to jump into this. Y'all ready? 5 of y'all. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, y'all ready? Yes. Come on. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. We're talking about Saul. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There was a light from heaven that showed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. But arise, enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. I love it. Listen, I don't know why, but in our Western society, yes, Jesus cares, and yes, Jesus is loving, and yes, Jesus is not overtly trying to pick a fight with people, but Jesus is not just soft. There's a difference between strength and hard. The world will make you hard, but God says my spirit will make you strong. Strong means you can be strong on the inside, tender on the outside, and when he speaks, you listen, you tremble. But hard says everybody's up to something, every boat is wrong, I gotta protect my heart and shut down my love so that nobody hurts me. The world says be hard, but God says be strong. Come on. Y'all making me lose my place. I got to get back to this. And he said, who are you, Lord? Yeah, I read that part. But arise into the city and I will tell you what you're going to do. Statement. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing nothing. Saul arose from the ground. Everybody say ground. Come on, everybody say ground. And although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. For 3 days he was out without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. I need you to see that a shift had happened in Saul. I need you to know that hard has now become humbled. The sign, let me give you the next verse here. Look at this, let's look at this. And neither ate and drank. Now there was a disciple, verse 10, at Damascus named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, 11. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. How can you not read the Bible and act like it's not? God is like, you think you're on your way, Mr. Big Shot. You got your little strut. You got your little walk. You got your little boyfriend, girlfriend, side hustle money. You got your little way, your 401k. You got your little, and you're walking. Doing what I want, when I want, how I want. Just trying to do me. I didn't write it. You hear what I'm saying? And what happens is God takes the hard, begins to humble him. And I love it because can you put yourself in this moment? Everybody say moment. You need a moment in your life. You need moments. And here's the deal. You don't need just one. 35 years ago, I am a product of many moments. Come on, somebody, where I got a little prideful. I got a little this. I got a little frustrated or abandoned or walked in some fear. And you know what? I needed some moments of freedom. You need moments. Where God begins to intervene in your life and there is a shift that happens. Can you imagine if this happened today in this culture? Saul's just trying to do his thing. And here comes this big old bright light. How in the world are you gonna light me up like that? Don't you know I have sensitive eyes? You couldn't ask me to get some sunglasses or some sunblock? What about the UV rays? I just think that you didn't have to go that hard on me. I just really feel like you, listen, you are. How would you like it if someone shined a big old light in your face? Not only that, The light caused him to hit the ground. Some of y'all, that messes with your whole theology. That light knocked me to the ground and I got scuff marks. Do you have a Band-Aid? I mean, did you plan this? I mean, did you really want to blind me and hit me on the ground? Do you know how hard the ground is? You could have had some pillows or some angels with some wings. You're telling me that this was your plan? That I hit the ground? Well, if that's the kind of God you are, I just don't know. Let me tell you something about the ground. The ground is the thing that shifts your perspective. The ground is the substance God uses to let you know your way ain't working. Can we talk about the ground a little bit? The ground is a tool to let you know you've hit as far down as you can go. You have an option. You can grovel and stay low and stay broken, or you can get up and fulfill the purpose of God in your life. I wish someone would talk to me. The devil's not attacking you because you hit the ground. Your choices are bad. You're not a victim. You are loved by God. And he said, I got a plan and I got a purpose. And y'all call this dude Saul, but I'm about to call him Paul. Y'all have no idea the words that are in his heart and what he's about to write. And I'm going to have to lock this dude in jail so he gets the words out, because he's way too busy. And here... Some of you have been groveling over how you've been treated and how you hit the ground. And I am not saying that that wasn't painful. And I'm not saying that that wasn't hard. And I'm not saying your business partner shouldn't have done that. And I'm not saying any of that. But some people see the ground as evil, but other people see the ground as love. Somebody needs some moments. Say moments. Some shifting, life-altering moments. Think about the moments in the Bible. God used the curiosity of Moses to be a moment. Somebody in here, you may be an atheist. You may not even believe. And God's not even scared of that, because he'll use your curiosity to create a, come on, say it. God used David's tender heart. And maybe you're here and you've made all kind of decisions. And man, you have blown it. You have messed up. You have done. But there is something tender inside of you. And God is saying that tenderness can be a moment if you will let it. What about the woman at the well? The woman at the well had a moment. And her moment happened because she was hiding in shame. And you may be here hoping that nobody knows about your past. You may be here embarrassed about what you said or how you conducted yourself. And you have not been free because shame has been on you. But God goes to the hiding and he says, I have moments for you. Even Matthew the tax collector had a moment. And for all of you extra busy, money-making, business-swapping, you only drive 85 miles an hour, people. Check this out. God can even have a moment with you. I guess what I'm trying to say is that God does moments. And you're going to have to let the ground humble you. The ground is compassion. The ground is correction. The ground is a catalyst to the rest of your life. Moments have to be part of your story. Because here's the deal. If moments are not part of your story, catch this. Your church involvement and participation and attendance will be more out of the pastor's convincing you to be good and better and holy. But we're tired of convincing people. We want people to have a conviction. Yes. Ain't nobody here selling timeshares, yo. I'm not hoping that you like me so you'll like him. Does this make sense? Moments mark you. You need moments. Your kids need moments. Your teenagers need moments. Your college student needs moments. Your marriage needs moments. Your business needs moments. Come on, somebody say moments. We all need moments. Purpose. Come on, a second is purpose. I love it that Jesus says, you get up and I'll tell you what you're going to do once you get there. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we're in a moment. We're like, okay, God, I give it all. I'm going to rid it all. I'm going to rid all my sin. I'm going to clean my house. I'm going to let all the demons loose. I'm going to, and then we want to know what God wants to do right now. But that's not how God does it. Get up from the ground. You walk out tomorrow. You do what I told you to do. You listen to me. And purpose will be unfolded after you listen and you obey. Listening. God is the God of use, and he will never say to you what, he will never deposit something in your life that you don't use. If he gives you something and you choose not to use it, he will not give you any more because God is a God of use. There was no need for God to tell Saul that his name would change. He would be this incredible author. He would build the church of Antioch. He would do all of these wonderful things. He would have a disciple named Timothy if he wasn't going to get up and obey. Some of you are trying to figure out what God has for you, but you haven't. I just want to be used by God. Great. Here's step one. Stop sleeping around. Well, you know. I can't do that. Then the calling of God is going to lay dormant in your life because God does not skip steps. See, the thing is that God has so much compassion and love, and we are under this dispensation of grace. He is not judging us right now. But that doesn't mean that he's going to entrust everything that he has for you until you begin to listen and obey. Yes. Think about listening. Jesus, I was telling a couple people yesterday, Jesus, is it interesting to you that he did not talk when Pilate asked him to? He stood before Pilate, and he was on trial, and Pilate said, yo, you've done nothing wrong. Why, give me your side of the story. Just tell me what's going on. And here Jesus stood silent. He didn't talk. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody who is on trial that won't say a word. But he didn't talk. Why? Because he knew the man that he was talking to was not going to listen to the King of Kings, but he was going to listen to the people. And so what did Pilate do? He listened to the people and he said, I have two men. I don't know what to do. Do you want me to free Barabbas or do you want me to free Jesus? God will not talk if you're not going to. He will stop at the last thing that he told you to do, and he will let the children of Israel stay 40 years. He will let you stay for 40 years. Because here's what he knows. If he blesses you with what is in store for you, but you don't know how to listen, it will crush you by the weight of the responsibility. Actually, it's God loving you, because there's no three-year-old that can have the responsibility of driving a car. And there is things in your future that God wants to give you, but he has to build a foundation of character in your life. I wish someone could hear. Come on. Could it be that the Church of Jesus Christ in America is not thriving because we're not? I believe that someone in this place, I believe there's a man in this place that it is time for you to start leading your family. God's been doing this in you, and the only reason you haven't is because you don't want to fight your wife. You're ashamed of your past. You don't really always know what to say. But here's what God has said: if you'll take a step in this water, I'll part it for you. I believe there's someone here today in this body that God is wanting to take you to the next level, but your attitude, your speech, and your conduct is allowing immaturity to stay. And God has influence for you in this house, but because you can't manage your emotions, you're stuck. And you're wondering when God is going to do what has been prophesied over you to do, but there is some responsibility and discipline that has to happen first, and you need to listen. Come on, is this good? I believe there are some people here today that God wants to totally remove that addiction in your life. But you don't, in order for him to remove that addiction, you're going to have to make some choices. Well, I'll give it up if he takes it away. No. You give it up because he's more important than what you crave. And you will learn how to resist the enemy because he will flee. Come on, is this real? I believe there's somebody here today that God has been starting to talk to you about tithing. And you keep saying, I can't afford it. And God is saying, if you only knew what was on the other side. And let me just say this. I don't fundamentally believe that any leader that is not giving should stay a leader. Because I'm just telling you, if you want a position in a church that you're not investing in, you need to go down the street. Well, just look. You tell me one man or woman of God that didn't make incredible investments to advance the kingdom. And then the Bible says, if you sow sparingly, you reap. I didn't say it. If you're mad at me, you need to ask why. Because here's the thing, this is what should happen every time you come to church. You should be encouraged. You should be challenged. And the Spirit of God should confirm that he knows you. Can we talk about relationships? Y'all okay? For us, Saul needed help. Think about this. This is Saul. Saul was an OG. Saul had credentials. Philippians chapter 3 talks about the fact that Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised on the eighth day, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Can I just tell you, I've written a lot of resumes. I'm probably not going to lead with the circumcision one. Like on my bio, It's not like Pastor Stephen Sexton has been circumcised. I'm going to throw that down. I feel like that's a little private. I'm just going to say that. Paul, with all of his intellect and all of his ability and all of his faithfulness and everything that he had amassed in the world, he was a picture of success. Yet, like a little child, he had to be led. There will be times in your spiritual development that you will need to be. And here's the thing, you're going to be led by imperfect people that have issues and freedoms and stuff that they're working on. But if you disqualify every man or woman of God because they have stuff, come on, hear what I'm saying. The Bible says that whatever you sow, you reap. If you're talking about people, people are talking about you. Relationships. There were some relationships that Saul was rolling with that after this moment, you never hear from them again. Here's what I want to tell you. I want to release some of you. There are some people in your life that God is moving you into another season. We don't give up on people. But that doesn't mean we keep running with the people that want to hold us in the past. Paul moved from a couple people who wanted to shut down the church to knowing James and Peter and Timothy and the people who wanted to build the church. And I'm telling you, for somebody here, you're going to have to decide, are you going to want to build the church or are you going to just... Because your relationships will do that. Here's what I want to ask you. Who in your life knows the real you? Like, who knows the dirty? Like, who knows the real, raw you? Because our world has protected, and we deny, and we override, and we just live the next day. But listen, everybody doesn't need to know your story. And there's a lot of people that will ask that they are only asking because they're curious, not because they care. You don't owe them an explanation. And it is okay to say, you know what, we're not that close. I don't know if I want to share that with you. And if they get offended, okay. That's on them. You were straight and clear. It's not because I don't like you, and it's just because I don't know you. I read an article the other day that said, if you want to build friendships and you move to a new location, for every year that you are of age, it takes that many months to build a lifelong friend. So if you are 35, you need 35 months before you know that person. So stop being engaged after 6 weeks. Come on. I fully believe that relationships are the currency of the kingdom. And if you'll bring the right people into your life, I am telling you, that you will begin to see your life unfold. Let me just say this real quick, because I'm a pastor and I have a pastor's heart. As I talk about change and spiritual growth and moving out of certain type of relationships, I want you to know very clearly that I am excluding marriage. You're starting to pursue God. You got saved. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're moving on. Man, God's doing great things. And you have a wife or a husband that's not. You're going to have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I don't have time to go there. But you need to write it down. Because it talks about three examples. It talks about what the believer does with the believer. What the believer does with the unbeliever. You know what I'm saying? Who wants to stay together. And the third one is the believer that doesn't want to stay. God has something to say about it. Relationships are important. relationships are the key to living differently. That's why we do life together. That's why we do life together. And I believe Jubilee is making, come on, listen, some moves to be a healthy and high impact church that's going to reach their city, that's going to reach the nations, that's going to bring people in regardless of, listen, their background or their past or their brokenness or their hurt or even their dysfunction. You can't do it alone. Get into a connect group. Let people be part of your story. Here's the last thing, and I'll be out of your way. Y'all okay? Is this, we good? Are we still having fun or not? Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18 says this. So Ananias departed and entered the house, laying his hands on them. He said, Brother Saul, come on, everybody say, Brother Saul. The Lord has appeared to you on the road. Prophetic. The Lord has appeared to you on the road by which you have came, and he has sent me to you that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He arose and was baptized. He started taking food and he was strengthened. And my prayer for you is that healing would happen in this house, that healing would happen in your own personal life, and that something like scales would fall, come on, off of your eyes, and you would realize that it's not just systems and structures, but it's the reason we do all this is because we are trying to get out healing to people. The reason we want you to show up every Sunday and not one Sunday every 6 weeks is because we're seeing healing and scales fall, and sometimes they're your scales, and sometimes there's somebody else's scales. Sometimes you're led by the hand. And sometimes you're leading other people by the hand. Come on, church. Even after a moment, even after purpose, even after relationships, there still had to be healing. For many people, they feel like healing comes first. But I believe that your part of spiritual transformation is you're healed along the way. Come on, here's what it is. It's one step up. Ben Young, come up. It's one step up. It's two steps back. It's two steps up. It's one step back. And it's like this. But here's the deal. You got to stop measuring your life over months. And you got to measure your life over years. And you got to see, come on, listen, scales are falling from my eyes. God has got something great for me. I'm moving forward. Come on, help me. Saul received ministry that changed the way he saw the world. And listen, Christians, our world wants you to see it through anger or see it through vengeance or see it through finances or see it through. But when the scales fall, you begin to see it differently. That's why you being here is so important. Because you may not relate to my story, but someone may relate to yours. And someone's got to go first. We've got to see someone with a homosexual addiction get free. So that someone else who's been struggling, someone's got to go first. We've got to have someone who's been abused. Someone's got to go first. Someone who's been divorced and it wasn't even their choice. Really? Someone's got to go first. It's part of all of our story. You are not sitting here watching a show. You're a part of the global body of Christ, and I need you to get up. I need you to want healing. I need you to go. God's about to rewrite my story. I believe. Come on, listen. God's about to do it, somebody. Here's the hard part. You know what the hard part is, Will? I think the hard part is this. I've actually written two books. I've written a lot of content. I remember the first book that I read. I was so happy. I was so proud. It took me like a year to write it. And I took it in to a couple people to edit it. And I came back in about 3 months. Yo, it had so much red on the manuscript that I was like, what did y'all do? It felt like a total rejection of me. It so discouraged me that I waited a year before I touched it. But here's what I want you to know. In that moment, God began to speak to me and he said, listen. The world and people in life try to write your story. Don't be scared at my editing, because I rewrite the story. I take the parts that I need and I rewrite it, and you're here under the anointing. Come on. And God is rewriting your story. Don't be scared of his edits. Don't be scared that he wants to take that part out. Don't be scared that he wants to minister. Don't be scared that he wants to put his pen to this and say, I'm taking that out of your life. I'm taking that out of your story. I'm removing some things. Come on. God isn't demanding perfection from you. He is offering visibility, and he's offering power. If you want it. Thank y'all for letting me come. I do. I love you. And it is not my heart to step on toes or be mean or be mad or be frustrating you. But I am tired of seeing the body of Christ live under lies. The goal is not to, that's what Saul had. He knew the law, but he didn't have love. And you may be a self-proclaimed theologian, but I can look at your life and I can see if the law of love has been written on your heart. Will you have a moment today? Will you listen and step toward purpose? And if I ever get to come back, you're on the front row, not on the back row. These 8 chairs need to be in. Someone needs to sit in them next week. I'm talking to leaders in this church. If you're a leader in this church, you sit on the front 2 rows. That's the bottom line. You don't lead from the back. You don't lead from the back. You don't lead from the back. Jason? The front row is where we need to find you. I'm wanting God to move. I'm showing everybody. People are coming in the church and they're looking at the culture and trying to figure out what's normal here. And we can't have the leaders on the back experiencing God and up front are the visitors. Come on, move yourself up. Lead the way. Come on, be a Levite. Come out before the battle. All right, I got to stop. There's a calling on this church. It's not done. It's not over. Nobody knows the stories. Nobody here knows. Nobody knows. But you're about to see the second chapter. And it's going to be things that you discussed at a table. Thank you. You're going to have a moment. You're going to walk in some purpose and some dignity. And you're going to walk in like, I'm a child of the King. I'm going somewhere. He's got a plan for my life. I've got to be in right relationships in my life and stop listening to all the yeah, yeah. And then I've got to be healed. Come on, I've got to be healed. Can we do that last song that we did right before we came up, kind of flow in that a little bit? Is that cool? Here's what I want to do. I want to take 35 seconds, 45 seconds, and I want to just saturate this place. And here's what God showed me. I believe that some people are going to get on their knees because you know I've already been talking to you.